For some today, the symbol of a cross is a piece of jewellery. We live in a time where the understanding and the story of the cross are not necessarily common knowledge. Rather than Christianity shaping life through faith, it is for a good number of young people something that they only learn about in RMPS. For those of a different generation, that's religious, moral and philosophical studies. Christianity is no longer the root story in which their family life and well-being is based. There's a story of a mythical customer who asked to buy a cross in a jewellery shop. The assistant brought a selection of crosses, but none seemed to fit the bill. Eventually, the customer announced that she was looking for one with a wee man on it. That mythical story of the lack of knowledge of the life of Jesus is matched through with personal experience. When the touring version of the musical Jesus Christ Superstar was at the Playhouse in Edinburgh, Keith and I found ourselves sitting in front of two young men who'd never seen the musical before. One of them turned to his friend and said, "Do you know this story?" To which the response was, "I'm not sure, but I think he dies in the end." We might laugh, finding it amusing that people should be so lacking in knowledge and understanding, but it's stories like these that give insight into our personal reserve at sharing what we know of Christian faith and the life of Jesus. They also give a sense of our unwillingness to explore what the cross means for the world and for us today. Of course, we see it and we know it as more than a piece of jewellery. In the Gospel reading, Jesus does not directly ask the crowds what they understand about the cross. Instead, he asks those who are following him if they'll be prepared to carry a cross. It's a passage full of extreme demands as Jesus sets out what it means to be a disciple. In many ways, these demands seem to come in stark contrast to the invitation to the disciples in chapter 5 and to Levi. The earlier invitations come at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and in the chapters that follow, Jesus spends time with those who surround him, exploring what it means to take up the invitation. They've walked in the midst of the marginalised and witnessed burdens being lifted. Today's bold statements come as Jesus has set his face for Jerusalem. In these later days of Jesus' life, crowds turn out to see him whenever they hear that he's nearby. He's become a spectacle, bringing healing and new understanding of God wherever he visits. The crowds haven't had the opportunity of the personal encounter with Jesus. They've seen none of the breadth of teaching that Jesus has offered. For the crowd, these moments are moments of blessing, only about what they can receive from Jesus. The hyperbolic statements offer the real possibility of following Jesus. It's not easy. It's not about getting something out of God or about personal favour. Instead, discipleship is about making a choice to throw your whole self into God's care and service. The Gospels don't offer one definition or understanding of the cross. In the questioning of others about whether they're willing to carry the cross prior to his death in Jerusalem, Jesus implies that there is more to understanding the cross than personal salvation, the common understanding of atonement. In the Gospel of Luke, and helped by this passage, we are invited to explore a wider meaning of the cross. For Luke, carrying the cross is to join Jesus in carrying the burdens of those for whom Jesus releases burdens. In this gospel, we meet the release of burden in Jesus' releasing of people from ill health and evil spirits. For Luke, carrying the cross is to take the ministry, the example of Jesus, and notice those who are overloaded by their lives. Women who've been judged sinful by themselves and others. For Luke, carrying the cross is to favour and notice the marginalised, even if that leads to our own oppression. While it may not be the case today, in the time of the gospel, the marginalised were women and children, the poor and the sick, all of whom stood at the edge of a society where worth was found in wealth and status. While it might not be the case today. By talking of the cross, before we even reach Jerusalem, this encounter with Jesus brings greater depth of understanding and invites us to see living in the shadow of the cross as more than suffering, more than sacrifice. Read in conjunction with our reading from Deuteronomy, we're offered a new image of what it means to have our discipleship shaped by our experience and understanding of the cross. For if we take up the cross of Christ, we choose discipleship. It's a choice, not a cost or a sacrifice. Choosing the cross, choosing discipleship, is about choosing life. We choose to live as those who value more than our own life and seek to bring the hope of the resurrection into the lives of others, freeing ourselves from our possessions, from our petty cares and concerns, from our focus on only ourselves, to focus on the life of the community and the world. We place the dispossessed, the marginalised, the burdened, and the overloaded within our understanding of God's love for all the world, and ensure they're offered the voice, the justice, and the hope that allows them to know life in all its fullness. Will we take up the cross of Christ this morning? Will we choose life with God today? Choose life so that others might have life, and give voice to the justice that needs to be found for those who are dispossessed, overburdened, and overloaded by our world. Amen.